Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bach on the line right now. Of course, she's the 49ers reporter. She's also an anchor for CSN Bay Area. And thanks for joining us on a weekend. Mindy, Matt Maiocco said that Hugh Jackson is the favorite so far, as we know that Adam Gase is now a Dolphins head coach. What are you hearing? Do you agree with the statement about Hugh?
Well, I really can't say for sure, because I think the one thing about coaching searches is you never know what takes place during those interviews and during those conversations. I mean, last year it looked like Adam Gase really was a front-running candidate. It didn't turn out to be that way. So I always kind of reserve judgment in these situations. I think, obviously, he's one of the leading candidates, but there's still so much to be determined.
You know, and I think this is a great job, not just because of the five trophies and the new stadium and the revenue. It's just that there's still shine on that gold helmet, despite the wonky, crazy owner, the GM who is on thin ice. Don't you think this is still a great job to have?
I think the reality is there are only 32 teams. And when you're in the NFL and in this profession, you know, every opportunity counts. And it could be with the worst team possible. And I'm not saying that's what the 49ers are by any means, but just saying that what you can do in those situations will build a resume and get the exposure for those coaching candidates. I don't know where the 49ers really fall in. I don't think it's considered as a top dog, just because they obviously need to establish themselves. But the ownership is solid. I know fans are very upset here, but they want to do well. They have a new stadium. They have, you know, tons of cap room, tons of draft picks. So that will bode well for a new coach coming in. So it is an opportunity. A coach will come in and be able to work in circumstances. I don't think they're as bad as people may think they are.
And Mindy, the last couple of games, it looked like A's Mariners on a Tuesday night down there. But we've also heard that, you know, the PSLs and they still got their money. They still announce these things as sellouts. Does ownership really care about the fact that the fan base is very disgruntled right now, or do they think as long as they're getting paid, it really doesn't matter what it looks like in the stands?
No, I think they are upset, because you're not going to get the national games if your team doesn't have a winning record and if your stadium is empty. And when you are in Silicon Valley, one of the most forward-thinking and innovative places, you know, in the country, it does not look good for a team to have empty seats. So I think they are worried about that, absolutely. And the fans have let them know. And there have actually been grumblings about some of the PSL holders who were going to try to force the team to do something about, maybe even legally, saying that we've been sold a bill of goods. You get our money to support this stadium through PSLs, and then you give us a product in return that actually devalues our PSLs. So almost like shareholders. And the ownership is very aware of that. They've heard it loud and clear.
Wouldn't it be kind of fitting, though, that when you build a stadium next to Intel, you might hire a guy named Chip?
You know, I had never thought of that. So.
Well, you know, I know that he reached out, and apparently reports were that they did talk. And of course, that gives to the rumors that maybe Cap is not done here. Have you heard anything about Kelly?
I haven't. Like I said, this is when coaching search so far that we know who's coming in, but we don't know what's taking place in those conversations. And that's what's critical. Only those key players know. And you've heard Jed York say that, you know, the leaks aren't coming from the building, especially for this. It doesn't behoove them with so many teams. Well, now Miami has picked up a head coach, with so many teams looking for a head coach to tip their hand or release any information. And as things get closer, I'm sure other sources connected to the coaching candidate will want to release information, and that's when things will start to get interesting.
Rick Tittle at 95.7 The Game with Mindy Bach, of course, covers the Niners, also anchor at CSN Bay Area. A couple more questions for Mindy, and a lot of people were looking forward to the Jed York press conference, and you know things didn't go well for your franchise if you're looking forward to hearing from the owner, but we know that he said, I want to be held accountable, and I'm not here to raise NFC banners. I want Super Bowl banners. So what did you think of, and you know, press conferences are what they are, but what do you think about him facing the press, saying he's going to get off social media, saying, you know, apologizing? What did you think about all that?
I think he's maturing. I think he is growing in the job, and he understands that those types of catchphrases will be used against you if it doesn't turn out correct. And he's exactly right. Just in a similar way that we've seen Colin Kaepernick mature on social media, he has drastically taken a step back off social media this year, especially after his snafu, remember last season regarding the flooding in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I think his point was well taken in that it doesn't benefit the team for him to express how he's feeling about the team positively or negatively during the season. And that's absolutely true. You know, we see how Jerry Jones sometimes can be very distracting. He is the face of the Dallas Cowboys, how he can be distracting for that team and for coaches and players trying to, you know, find their way or do their jobs when the owner is constantly sending out messages that are being interpreted 1,000 different ways through Twitter and Instagram and all these different blogs and websites. So in that respect, I do think that he has matured, and that press conference was just a little bit enlightening. The one thing that I have mentioned before is that, you know, he always harkens back to his uncle, Eddie DeBartolo. And, of course, everyone has fond memories of Eddie DeBartolo being mm-hmm. the team owner. But this is a different era. This is a different franchise, different rules as far as salary cap and what Eddie did to get his team to where it needed to be. He kind of got in trouble for that. The team paid for it, you know, with salary cap implications. Mm-hmm. And I think it's now time for Jed to not distance himself from his uncle, you know, celebrate his uncle. But it is time now as the team CEO for him to put his stamp on this team and his family. What is this new era 49ers? What are you building now? Because, you know, Eddie DeBartolo is not part of the picture. And you can look back on the past with fondness and learn from it, but you also need to set your own path for this team. And that's what I think is going to be the next step for him.
Interesting. And, you know, you also think about the fact that when things went a little pear-shaped for Mark Davis and Reggie McKenzie, Mark reached out to John Madden and Ron Wolf. And I'm thinking now with Jed, he always says, oh, I got the greatest guy ever, my uncle, on the phone. But what about besides him? I mean, now that I mentioned Trent's on thin ice, Parag has been marginalized as just a cap guy. Do you see maybe a John McVay type of guy, or maybe even a Steve Young or a Brent Jones, guys who are still faithful, like reaching out and maybe getting some more football people to be involved, just maybe in an advisory role?
Well, for the first time, that is something that I have been asking it. And I have to say, in these interviews, quite critical of before, because there hasn't been that, you know, if you have a $1 billion corporation, you have a board. You have a board of people who are experienced in that field, who you go to and run things through. Well, I understand an NFL corporation is privately held. It's a private club. You're not going to have a board. But the fact that there has just been recently three at the head of that board, meaning Parag Marate, Trent Baalke, and Jed York, and now maybe, you know, you can include Al Guido now. It is such a small leadership group, and you're absolutely right. It's like, where is the sounding board? Where is the, they have NFL experience, but still, you look at the Warriors, they have Jerry West and other people that they can pull to. You know, you look at other teams, and they have those mentors. Trent Baalke, no secret, his biggest mentor is Bill Parcells. And during this coaching search, he said he is going to reach out to him, as he always does. And he said there are other people outside of the organization that he leans on for guidance and for mentorship, and they will be asking their opinions. He wouldn't share who those people are, but they're not people definitely who are in-house. And it would be interesting to see in the future if they would bring that on, though I don't foresee it because they haven't done it yet. So I don't know why they would do it now.
Yeah, interesting. And finally, Mindy, as a lot of Niner and Cal fans would like to see, Jared Goff, now we're hearing probably won't be there at 7, whether it's Cleveland or Dallas or someone else. And you'd have to think if he was gone, would they take a Cook or a Lynch? Probably not. But what are you hearing draft-wise? And maybe, because I think if the Niners want Goff now, they're going to have to move up.
But you know what? You have to get the head coach first. Mm-hmm. Who does the head coach want? I mean, last year, when Jim Tomsula this past season was the head coach, who did they take first in the draft? They took a defensive lineman. You know, Jim Harbaugh, first year in the draft. You know, who did they take? They got him in the third round. They didn't need a quarterback because they had Alex Smith, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick was Harbaugh's choice in the third round. And the thing is, you know, you need to reflect the personality of your head coach and what you want. So that needs to fall in line first before that draft pick is decided. But the one thing that I caution, everyone talks about, you know, Jared Goff, it's nothing with him too. But as Alex Smith has pointed out, even David Carr pointed out to me when he, in a short time when he was with the 49ers and we saw with Blaine Gabbert, you know, when you're the number one overall pick or you're a first round draft pick as a quarterback and the highest selections, and you go to those teams, you're going to a team that had the worst one of the worst records the season before. Mm-hmm. And look at the Alex Smith situation. Number one overall draft pick, we all know this, coming into the 49ers with Mike Nolan in his first year, you know, who never groomed a quarterback and was defensive coordinator, not offensive minded, to a first time coordinator, Mike McCarthy, who in that year said, I don't want to start the rookie, you know, and for obvious reasons. So you just have to, everything has to line up for things to work out. So Jared Goff may be the sexy draft pick right now, but if he's coming to a coaching staff who's not ready to groom him, then it's kind of wasted energy.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, and I think about Troy Aikman's first season at 1-15. I mean, the Cowboys were awful, but this is the other thing, Mindy. I think whoever they hire as head coach is going to get at least 2 years because York doesn't want to go 1-done back to back. I think that would really tarnish what reputation he still has left. We've been speaking with Mindy Bach. Of course, you can always find her on CSN behind the anchor's desk or covering the 49ers and other sports as well. You can follow her on Twitter at mbach, CSN, BACH, of course. Hey, Mindy, thanks for your time on a weekend and your insights, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Thanks so much. I got to go back to the Chiefs Houston game, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.